Welcome back to Inside the Bar Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. I'm Christy Barker, a career prosecutor from the Savannah, Georgia area. This episode begins to look at whether the murders of Elwin Crocker Jr. and Mary Crocker, whose bodies were found buried in the family's yard in 2018, could have been prevented. If you listened to the last episode, you'll remember the autopsies of the Crocker children. These children died from a combination of starvation and other physical abuse inflicted by the adults in their family. You may also have caught this in the interview with Elwin Crocker, the children's father.
Manager, over at the end. Mm-hmm. Like the old thing, Jay would get out in the middle of the night, and usually he would get out the bathroom window or the front door, and we had people telling us he was getting out.
Now let me stop you. When y'all, how long ago was this?
About 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago.
Yeah, because we.
So JR would have been 14, 15.
He was 15. Yeah, he was 15.
Okay.
He would get out and break into trailers and steal stuff. Mostly sweets.
Mostly what?
Sweets.
Okay.
And he didn't care if it was sprayed down with road spray or anything. And like I said, he would ransack the cabinets at night. And then...
In y'all's house?
Yeah. But yeah, we caught him coming from like 10, back when the tree fell on it. And Stan had just went in there spraying. This was shortly before he started getting real bad or sick.
Now who?
J.R. J.R. got like weak, like Mary did. And this happened even before we moved to Georgia.
Uh-huh.
He was doing the same thing. And he was about 12. He actually was caught on Lynn Street, West Columbia, South Carolina. We were staying with the older couple. They had a trailer park.
Uh-huh.
And they caught him digging and eating food out of the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of people just got finished spraying.
J.R. Crocker was so desperate for food, even when the family was living in South Carolina, that he was eating from the trash. Captain Rick Daly with the Effingham County Sheriff's Office heard this and gathered as many records as he could to find out what had been going on with his family. Birth certificates, school records, Department of Family and Children's Services, or DFACS records, and court records from South Carolina were piecemeal. But the beginnings of the picture were there. Elwin Crocker Jr., J.R., was born in South Carolina in 2001. At the time of his death in 2016, he hadn't even reached his 15th birthday. Mary Crocker was born in South Carolina in 2004 and was just 13 when she died in October 2018. Elwin Crocker was not listed as Mary's father in Mary's birth certificate. No one was. Though Linda Denny was recorded as both children's mother, Elwin Crocker only appeared on JR's birth certificate. Records show that the youngest child of Elwin Crocker was born in 2007 to Elwin and a woman who was younger than Linda Denny. Oddly, Elwin, Linda, and the mother of the third child all lived at the same address with all three children, according to the records obtained. The courts got involved with the family no later than 2008, when police were called about a domestic violence incident between Elwin and the mother of the third child. I say no later because the records make reference to an ongoing case involving Elwin and Linda Denny, but these records are incomplete. In any case, by summer of 2009, Elwin had custody of the youngest child because he had checked all the boxes set for him by South Carolina DFACS. He had completed treatment and gotten a job. DFACS had helped Elwin apply for disability for the third child, who had some medical issues, and enabled Elwin to get housing and food stamps based on the child's disability. The third child's mother had not engaged with any of the court-ordered programs, so she lost custody of her child, although she and Elwin had subsequent calls to the police that showed up in the records. Linda Denny, Marion J.R.'s mother, had also been on a spiral. By August 2009, she consented to give Elwin full custody of Mary and J.R. Linda Denny was living in a hotel at that point. Even though Elwin had lost his job by then, the South Carolina court awarded him custody of Mary and J.R. because Elwin claimed that he had, quote unquote, help from his family. As you will see, this help is questionable. When Elwin's parents were contacted by investigators in 2018, they said they had not had contact with Elwin in 10 years and were living in Maine. Other information obtained in the investigation indicated that Elwin was giving his mother things he obtained based on the third child's disability, like food stamps. Hard to tell what's true about whether he had help, but what is clearly true is he was unemployed and had custody of three children, and the Department of Family and Children Services was out of the picture. So here it is, late 2009. JR is not quite 8 years old, Mary is not quite 5 years old, and the youngest child is almost 2 years old. Elwin is unemployed and living on welfare. Records for this period of time are scarce, but what we can see is that JR is doing well in school. He qualified for the gifted program, but Elwin refused to have JR put into the gifted program. There are other signs of something being not quite right in the house, though. By 2011, JR and Mary are attending the same elementary school. Yet Mary had no attendance problems, while JR had 44 absences and 18 tardies. Letters were sent to the home telling Elwin that he would be reported to DFACS for not ensuring his 10-year-old son was in school. JR's grades were also worse in 2011, though he still qualified for the gifted program. And again, Elwin had rejected the program for JR. No records show that DFACS was contacted about any of these absences or problems in school. But clearly, something was wrong. By February 2012, both Mary and JR were removed from the South Carolina school because the family was moving to Georgia. What was going on? Enter Candace Wright, soon to be Candace Crocker. In the last episode, we did not talk much about Candace, the stepmother to the Crocker children. This was not an oversight. There is just so much to say about Candace, it's hard to know where to begin. Candace Crocker pled guilty to the murders of these children fairly early on in the investigative process. She was sentenced to life without parole in exchange for testifying truthfully in any hearing or trial involving anyone else charged in this case. She gave approximately 13 hours of interviews to Detective Abby Brown, who was then with the Effingham County Sheriff's Office. The interviews are rambling, stream of consciousness, and it is hard to locate specific material when you listen to them. I will not be playing her interviews here because they are so hard to edit, and they are so self-serving. She spends much of her time blaming everyone else for her actions and feeling sorry for herself. These interviews are, however, available in the clerk's file of these cases. Her interviews also contain some of the most disturbing material in this highly disturbing case. While she clearly minimizes her own actions, steering everything toward her mother being at fault or Elwin being at fault, she minimizes her own actions and those of her brother Mark Wright, and the evidence disproves much of that. All of the adults in this home were involved, as you will hear as we go along. But Candace's descriptions of what happened with this family are really the only source we have for what was happening in South Carolina before the family moved to Georgia. I will be summarizing some of that information here, and once you have heard the rest of the case, you can decide for yourselves whether to believe what she said. Elwin and Candace met through a friend of Candace's in 2010 when Candace was 23 years old and Elwin was 40. By April of 2010, Candace had moved in with Elwin and the children in South Carolina. Candace said that when she moved in, Elwin asked her to be open-minded sexually because he was also going to be having sex with 5-year-old Mary. Candace claimed that she couldn't leave because she had no place to live at that point, so she believed she could talk Elwin into stopping molesting Mary. Instead, Elwin had Candace assist in the sexual molestation of Mary Crocker, eventually causing Mary to bleed from her vagina. Candace said that as time went on, Elwin could not get turned on with Candace unless Mary was in the bed being molested as well. Candace's tone, even before this revelation, suggested that Candace was jealous of Mary's relationship with Elwin. As we will discuss, there was much, much more to this. What was happening with JR during this time in South Carolina? Candace admitted that the food portions the children were being given were tiny. We know that JR was eating food from the trash. At the time of their arrests, Elwin, Roy Prater, and especially Candace were obviously overweight. Yet Candace gave the children, including JR, who was a boy hitting that preteen stage, tiny portions. Neither Candace nor Elwin could understand why JR kept taking food from the trash to eat. In fact, they blamed him. Candace said that there was less food for the household because Elwin gave some of the food and the food stamps that they received to Elwin's mother and brother. We are unable to verify that, but know that JR was stealing food. Even in 2010, when JR's grades were beginning to go down, when JR was just 9 years old, he was starving. As we will see, it took 5 more years and much more violence to actually kill him. Candace and Elwin married in December 2011, and the family moved to Georgia 3 months later. So, could all of this horror have been prevented in South Carolina? Yes. Had Mary and JR been put in foster care in 2008, when South Carolina DFACS was investigating the family, they would have had a chance at a better life. Had the Department of Family and Children's Services continued to monitor Elwin and his children after they were returned to him and after he got full custody, they could potentially have had some kind of better life or something been removed. Had they followed up on the mother of the third child's reports that Elwin was molesting children, something could have been done, and these children could have had a better or longer life. Sadly, though, as you will hear, the chain of failures in the system did not end in South Carolina. Can you stand to hear more? It is coming.